All right, we are going to continue our series today on where do I fit in to the body of Christ. This is part three, and we're going to go into the actual gifts of the Spirit. Remember, we started off and I mentioned there's three different areas primarily in the Scripture that talks about gifts that God has given us. We have the gifts of the Father, which is right here in Romans chapter 12, what we're going to get into. And then also in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit. And those are the charismatic gifts, shall we say. And then also in Ephesians chapter 4, we have the five ministry gifts, which are the gifts of the Son. So all these different giftings and how they work together and in the body of Christ. Now, as you kind of look at your own life, have you ever wondered why that we're all just a little bit different from each other? You know, we are, aren't we? And have you ever wondered why that some people are just really different? Amen? They are, aren't they? Maybe we're one of them. I don't know. You know, we're all a little different because God, you know, He's placed different gifts or motivations inside of us. And it's like if we have a set of eyeglasses. And when you put those glasses on, it causes you to look at things a certain way. If you put red glasses on, everything has a red tint, right? If you put blue glasses on, it has a blue tint. Well, sitting in this room today are different people that look at things a different way. And it's not because anybody's wrong per se, but it's because we have different motivational gifts inside of us, and God wired us that way, so that we could be able to see things. Because if we was all alike, it'd be really boring, right? Wouldn't be any fun at all. And you know that opposites attract, and sometimes as we go through these gifts, you're going to be able to see, and maybe you're married to an opposite. And, you know, balance is something that we need in the body of Christ so that we understand. And if we understand these gifts, two things are going to happen. Number one, you're going to find out what your ministry gifts are, shall we say, your motivational gifts. And then as you find that out, it's going to help you that you're going to get involved with certain things that's going to be a benefit to the body of Christ, but also to you. But on the other hand, you're going to understand other people of why they're different from you, and you're not going to criticize them so much. Because if you've got somebody that's total opposite from you, and they look at life different from you, it's easy to get critical, isn't it? Wondering why can't they see it this way? You know, some are Ford Chevy people here, right? You get mad, you know, we're not going to go Republican, Democrat, right? Don't want to go there. But, you know, it's like that with the ministry gifts, and we're going to look at these. Now, there's seven of these gifts that we're going to look at. I'm going to do two a day, and then the last week I'm going to try to do three. So we're going to really cover a lot of information. These messages are going to be more informational. And if there's more information you want from me, just let me know. I can give you, if you want to look at some of these, and also they're going to be up online, the messages are. There's a lot of stuff online to find out, and then as we go through the next step of what we're doing here at the church, with the growth track, there's going to be a test in there where you can actually take a test and help yourself to locate some of these gifts, okay? So we're going to do that to try to help you because we want you to, you know, find out exactly what it is God wants for you to do, and that's going to be exciting. Okay, Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. Is our launching place, and it says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, in service in his serving, he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the anointing that's on it to be able to transform us and change us into the people that you want us to be. Lord, we know we're not here by chance, that you have a plan for each of our lives. And Lord, we know that in the body it says here that you gave different gifts and that we're going to exercise those gifts. That means we need to employ those gifts or put them to work. And Lord, that comes by helping us to understand what it is that you put inside of us. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, as I explain these gifts, it's going to be, like I say, quite a bit informational, a lot to maybe write down. I can make this information available to you if you're really interested in it. And what's going to happen is that you're going to find out that you probably flow in several of these gifts, but you're going to find out that one of them is predominant in your life. And that is more your dominant gift in the sense of kind of flavors the other ones. Because when you get different things kind of mixed together, they come out in different ways, you know what I mean? And you're going to see this when we start to go there. And today, I'm going to look at two gifts, and it's prophecy and mercy. Now, if you put these two people in the same room trying to fix the same problem, there could be conflict. Because their approach to solving an issue is quite different from each other. And you're going to see that as we go. Now, the word prophecy here is talking about, now that what's interesting about this gift, prophecy, is that it's found in all three categories. It's found in the gifts of the Son, where there's an actual ministry gift of a prophet, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. So it's one of the five. Also, that same word is found in 1 Corinthians 12, where there's the gift of prophecy, which means that somebody would speak out and say something. And it's also found right here. So we don't want to get hung up on if you have the ministry gift of or the motivational gift of prophecy, it does not make you a prophet. Also, God has to have all these other things lined up. Okay, so the ministry gift, the motivational gift of prophecy, if you have this, you are sort of a perceiver. And that means you have kind of more insight and intuitive sense about people or situations. Now, this gift is a blessing in the body because sometimes, you know, charlatans come into the body of Christ, right? So this gift kind of helps snuff some of those things out, those people that try to take advantage of other people. So this gift can do that as well as other reasons for this gift. And when you're around a person that flows in this, this motivational gift of prophecy, sometimes it makes you feel like they're reading your mail. It looks like they can almost see through you. And in their conversation, they may say things that you're maybe thinking in your heart, and you get a little uncomfortable around them. Because this gift, you know, if it's used rightly, it's a blessing, but wrongly, it's a problem. So prophecy is talking about somebody that encourages, exhorts, and comforts people is another place in Scripture it talks about that. Now, a person that has this gift of motivational gift of prophecy, it's not foretelling. It's forthtelling. And there's a difference. Some people that think that they have the ministry gift or the motivational gift of prophecy, they believe that they can tell the future, and they go out and try to tell people things, you know, you're going to do this or you're going to do that, and it's not true. It's more forthtelling of things that are actually happening around and it's happening in the practical and the natural now. Now, it says if you have this gift, it says exercise it according to the proportion of your faith. Now, if you have this gift, it takes a little bit of faith to operate in this gift because sometimes if God tells you something to say to somebody, it takes a little bit of faith if you're going to try to get it, I don't want to say get in their face, but you know what I mean? If you're wanting to kind of straighten some things out and things like that, it's very can be a little controversial. So you have to be able to walk in sort of maturity. Now what we're going to see from this as we study these gifts that, you know, there's the good side and the bad side, and we need to work on both, right? We need to get better at the good, and we need to tone down the bad. Now, the characteristics of this person is that if you have this motivational gift, is that you want to really express it verbally. When you feel that God has told you something, you're not the kind of person that keeps it to yourself. You know, where you think you can, you know, some people when God tells them something, they may sit on it for a while. And they may, what I mean by sitting on it, they hold it for a while and then they pray about it and do all this. Usually somebody with this, they just got to speak it out. They want to just, hey, God told me this, I got to tell you this. You know what I mean? How many knows somebody like that maybe? I don't know. Maybe you do. It means you also have the ability to discern character and motives of people, whether good or bad. So it's not just looking at people's faults, you know. Sometimes, how many knows a fault finder? Don't raise your hand. Amen? We all know fault finders. The people that are fault finders do not necessarily have this gift. They're just fault finders. No, when you have the ministry gift or the motivational gift of prophecy, it means that you're going to be able to, when you're with somebody, you can use this for good and be able to discern those motives to be able to help them to maybe get past certain things in their life or some things that are going on in their life that maybe they're not doing right. And that's something that's needed in the body of Christ. Now, it gets a little harsher because this person would have the capacity to identify, define, and hate evil. And this is where it starts to get a little more dicey. Because a person with this gift, they're usually a black or white person. There is no in-between. And that's the wrong part of it. It's good in some ways. Because how many know we need to stand against sin? We all do, right? We need to make a stand. But this person sometimes, if they're not seasoned with maturity, they will just get in people's face and just tell them, hey, you know, you're doing this, you got to quit. You know, God doesn't like that. You know, and they get in their face and they define it as sin. You're sinning right now. And see, you say, well, that's kind of harsh. It is. But you got to look at it from their motive. They think they're helping you. Because they don't want you to be bound up in that sin. It's not that they're putting you down. They're trying to get you free. But it's just their approach to it. You know, because we all have different approaches to things sometimes. Some people with this gift, they may be willing to express brokenness to prompt brokenness. Meaning, you know, if they're with somebody, they may, you know, begin weeping just to try to get the other person to cry. You know, just to try to touch their emotions to be able to get their point across. And one thing about this gifting is that they really stand upon the Word of God to validate their authority, meaning they don't just make things up or think things up in their mind, but they want to have Scripture that backs up everything that they say. And that's important. Because there's a lot of time people will give you their opinion, but it's not based upon the Word of God. And so we need to make sure everything's based upon the Word of God. And a prophecy motivational gift is somebody that really stands on the Word of God and make sure that they have scriptural validation to back up everything that they say. And so that part is good. They're also very direct and frank in their speaking. You know, and they just want to just, you know, pinpoint in and just say, let's just go for this. They're not one to beat around the bush. You know, a lot of people beat around the bush a little bit. But the prophecy motivational gift does not want to beat around the bush. This person is this direct and frank, let's deal with this right now. You know, they probably only would require one counseling session with them. You know what I mean? Some people, when they sign up for counseling, you know, the counselors at charge, you know what I'm saying? They'll milk that baby, won't they? Oh, we need 10 sessions, man. $100 a pop, we need 10 sessions. Well, if you have the prophecy motivational gift, one session, we're done. We fixed it, man. We're on. We're on to something else. You know, they just want to get to it, get her done, and move on. You know, and that's how they operate. They have a real deep concern for the reputation of God. You know, so they take it personally when people attack the body of Christ or when people attack the things of God or the church. You know, they get mad about stuff like that. They don't like it when people speak against God and His Word. They take it very personally. And one thing that's kind of unique about this person is that they're eager to have other people point out their faults. See, they're just not a fault finder, but if they have something going on in their life that they're not right, they'll come up and ask somebody and say, hey, you know, is there anything wrong with me? Am I doing this wrong or something going on? Because they want to get fixed. They want to get right where they need to be because then that makes them more proficient, you know, in the things that God's called them to do. So it's kind of a unique gifting. Now, how they get misunderstood is that the misunderstandings that come with this is that when they're so frank and abrupt, people think they're harsh people. You know, because they want to get right to the problem, you know, and I know, like, let's say in a counseling situation, you know, when, you know, some people just kind of like to go to, you know, let's say a snail's pace and just little by little, line upon line. Well, when they kind of get right to the heart of matter, you know, instead of saying, you know, taking 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks to get to the place where, you know, you're living in sin, you're going to find that out pretty quick, you know, with this person. They're saying, this is what you're doing wrong and this is what you need to do. Well, to the wrong person, somebody who's maybe injured or hurt, they might take that a little wrong. They think this person really doesn't care about me. You know, they're a little bit harsh. Also, their efforts to gain results can seem a little gimmicky, like I mentioned the crying. You know, Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. He probably had the motivational gift of prophecy as well as being a fivefold prophet. And, you know, some of the prophets in the Old Testament would do things, you know, Ezekiel like laid on one side or different things or cooked his food with dung and things like that. So some might say, well, that's kind of gimmicky. you know, to be able to get the point across. They don't like that, so that's one drawback. Public boldness and strict standards may hinder intimate relationships. This kind of person may not have a lot of close friends, unless, you know, it's just the way it is, because they're not afraid to speak, you know, their mind. You know, after you, to be honest, that's a drawback, because we all need interpersonal relationships. And even the person that is like this, this is not an excuse to grow out of this and to try to season that and to bite your tongue a little bit. You know what I mean? Because we need to do that so that we can build these relationships and being able to get to where we want, where we need to be. And also the fact that they're so Bible-oriented, you know, what's the word say? That rigid stance can come across as opinionated to some people. You know, and they rub people the wrong way. And especially if somebody isn't really a Christian, or somebody that's maybe a what I call a nominal Christian, somebody that says they're a Christian, but they're not really, maybe not even saved. They're just going through the motions. And that when somebody like this comes up and starts telling what the Bible says, some people don't like that. They don't want to change. They're content in their situation and circumstance. They just don't want to, they don't want to turn their life around. And so somebody with this prophecy motivational gift, when they're coming up and talking to you, and all of a sudden your world is starting to get rocked a little bit, you know, they pull away from that and they get kind of mad. Now, a Bible example of somebody with this gift, there's several, but, you know, John the Baptist would have probably been one in the New Testament. John the Baptist had the ministry, also walked in the prophetic, but he also was operated by this motivational gift of prophecy. You know, what he did was Scripture even says he wanted others to point out his blind spots, if there's something wrong and things like that in his life. And he was very direct and blunt in his speaking. You know, when the religious leaders came out, he didn't say, "Oh, glad you're coming to the service, brother." No. What he called them names, didn't he? He said they're a bunch of phonies. He called them for like they were. And that can rub people the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? You know, but that's just how but he still drew the crowds, because it was his giftings. It was the gifting that God put inside of him, and that he always really validated stuff with the word. And so that was important in his life. So as we go through this, this might be you. This might be your personality or your motivational gift. And you wonder why, you know, you maybe don't have close friends. Or you wonder why you're so strict on certain things. It's how you're wired. And that's how God made you. And that's okay. And as you learn to flow with this gift, understanding the good characteristics, but also the bad ones, you can work on the bad ones so you don't maybe get in people's face so much, or, you know, you start to cut maybe little people slack. How many know you got to earn the right to speak into somebody's life sometimes, right? You just can't walk up to somebody on the street and just tell them everything. You know, you don't have any street cred with them, shall we say. Well, so that's something if you have this gift, and it's very important that we understand that. Now, the next one we're going to look at is mercy. Mercy and prophecy. Motivational gifts are, in my opinion, the two opposite of each other. Now, the person with the ministry gift of prophecy, as it says, it talks about they're kind of happy to show compassion to others. This is the kind of person you probably would like to be around. You know, they're just so loving. They accept you just as you are. You may have all kinds of problems. And they come up to you and they love on you, and they just give you that outward manifestation of pity. And I don't mean it in a bad way, but they're just there for somebody, especially in a serious time in need. Because what they want to do is that when they view somebody and they can tell they're going through maybe a bad time, they don't just want to be there for them, but they want to try to fix it. They want to fix the reason why they're in distress. So really, prophecy and mercy are wanting the same thing, to see people set free from their distress and their problems, but their approach is going to be totally different, which we're going to see right here. Now, the warning for somebody with this gift is that they need to do it cheerfully, because what happens if somebody has this motivational gift of mercy operating in their life is that they can easily get emotionally drained. because they're drawn to people with pain. And when they see somebody with pain, they just get in there and they try to help them. And over a process of time, if you don't stay charged up or guard your heart a little bit, it's easy to allow them to drain you and suck you down, right? So that's something that somebody with this gifting needs to be careful of, to guard their heart and to guard themselves. Because if you get wore down, it's a dangerous thing. Now, the characteristics of somebody with this person is that they're attracted to and understanding people in distress. And like I mentioned, they're more than just being there. They actually want to try to fix the problem. You know, sometimes when people have a problem, you know, a lot of people don't really know what to do. You know, when somebody maybe passes away or when, you know, somebody's going through a real hard time. And mainly you're just there and you say, praying for you. You know, we all do that, right? You're in my prayers. You know, that's good. They need to be in our prayers. But a mercy will take one more step. What can I do for you? What can I do to help you? What can I do to make this better for you, to help you out of the situation? See, it's one extra step because they witness the problem and they want to fix it. Just like prophecy would get in, you know, say, what caused this problem? Mercy would just try to help them through this problem. And so both are unique in the way that they approach this. Now, they sometimes avoid being firm with somebody unless they really feel it's going to bring results. You know, they probably more feel that they can love somebody out of the problem than confronting them with the problem. And that's just how they're wired, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's just their flow and how they do that. We need people like this. And they're very sensitive to people's hurts. They're very careful about how words can hurt people and affect people. And we know they can. So this person is very close to that. And what they do is they also have somewhat of an intuitive sense, like the prophecy motivational gift. They can sense when somebody's insincere. If somebody's kind of a poser or a fake, you know, they can see through that a little bit. So God's given them, you know, that characteristic, which will help them because they're drawn to so many people with need, that it's good that they have that a little bit, because there's a lot of people that take advantage all the time, aren't they? And somebody with this gift can get run ragged because there's so many people just chasing after them and wanting them to help them out of this situation, that they have to be able to sort out, you know, the ones that are faking and trying to take advantage of them. And that's important. As I mentioned, they can discern people's motives. And like I said, they're really drawn to people with emotional distress. Physical too, but primarily emotional problems. When people are going through some things, they're there for them, and they want to be there with them, and they want to walk with them hand in hand till they get out of this situation. So they just don't leave them hanging. Now, some misunderstandings that somebody with this gifting can have is the fact that their avoidance to be firm with situations, they can come across as a weak person. You know, somebody may judge them. Ben's, you know, they're helping somebody, let's say, with a severe sin problem in their life, severe problems that, you know, this person is not wanting to let go of. And so this mercy motivational gift just starts loving on them and helping them and trying to get out of that. And other people in the body of Christ can look in and see and say, hey, you know, you need to take a stand with this person. They're walking all over you. They're taking advantage of you. You know, so they can be viewed that way. Another thing, if you have this motivational gift, you have to be careful with is that when you minister to people of the opposite sex, it can be misunderstood. And so that's something you really gotta, you know, if you go up to somebody and you're a woman and you try, and which you need to be careful about anyway. I don't, you know, women ministering to men and men to women has to be, you have to operate in wisdom in that. But somebody, if a woman has the ministry gift of prophecy and they go up and help some guy who's down on his luck and, you know, his wife's maybe cheating on him or running on him, and, you know, and she shows attention to this guy, well, he might kind of take it wrong. And the same with a woman. If you're a man and her husband's been unfaithful and doing things and you're wanting to, you know, show mercy to her, and, you know, that's not what she's getting at home. She's getting, you know, maybe verbally abused, if not even physically abused. And all of a sudden, you're a guy, and you have the motivational gift of mercy, you know, working in you, and you're just showing a little bit of compassion. All of a sudden, she could take that wrong. And, wow, you're a good guy. You know, you're the kind of guy I was looking for. And so then it can open up a lot of problems there. Another problem with the motivational gift of mercy is that, you know, sometimes when people go through things, you know, God is trying to teach them something. You know, not that God put them in it. I don't believe that. But I believe that God will use what we go through to help us to learn. Well, a motivational gift of mercy, well, this person may just hop in and try to fix them before God has finally got all the traction out of that he wants to, that he maybe wants the person going through the problem to maybe look at things a little bit different, maybe make some modifications in their life. Well, now the mercy motivational gift just hops in there and mothers on them and takes away that teaching moment. So that's something that you have to have a little bit of sensitivity towards. This gift of mercy, that when you're talking to somebody that's been wronged, you know, people get offended, right, or hurt. Let's say a mercy motivational gift is going up and talking to somebody who's maybe got offended at somebody at church, maybe the pastor, God forbid them things happen, amen. You know, the pastor made me mad. Those things happen. Well, the mercy motivational gift goes in there and tries to restore this person and loves on them, and bends they don't take a firm stance, it can seem like they're siding with the person. So they think that they're on their side in the sin, you know what I mean? So that doesn't really do any good for the whole situation. They have to be careful. And as I mentioned that, Ben's, they have some level of discernment. I don't think it's probably as sensitive as the prophecy motivational gift. But Ben's, they have that discernment, and they run into a faker. They really get closed off. It just totally turns them off. So they don't maybe get involved. Now, example of somebody with this motivational gift would probably be the Good Samaritan, for one, in the Bible. Now, the Good Samaritan, remember, you know, the priest and the Levite came down the road and seen this guy laying in a pile. They didn't do nothing. Matter of fact, they just crossed the road, stayed as far away from the situation as possible. Here they were supposed to be the spiritual leaders of that day. Well, then here comes a Samaritan. Now, what maybe some of you don't know about a Samaritan was of the mixed breed, shall we say. They were part Jewish, but they were also part of another nation, and they were looked down upon by the Jews. So when Jesus told this story, it was really sticking his thumb in the eye of the religious people. Because here, the perfect people wouldn't help. But here, this person who was kind of a looked down upon by the Jewish nation got involved and tried to help them. Help a person in need. And that's what we're all supposed to do. So he just jumped right in when others wouldn't, even though he knew he was probably helping somebody, perhaps that would look at him the same way, that would not even have helped him. But Benzie had compassion. You know, he just had to do something about the situation. He just didn't walk on by. You know, he went the extra mile, and that's what a mercy motivation will do. He actually took him to a place, an inn, and he bound up his wounds and started the healing process. Also, he took money out of his own pocket and gave it to the innkeeper so that, you know, the deal would be taken care of. And then, instead of just, you know, how many of us have, you know, I'll just flip out a little money and I'll feel good about myself, and then I'll go on to something else. Amen. Hey, we've all been there, haven't we? How many know it's easier to give $20 than it is to get involved with somebody's life and try to help them out? Amen. Hey, that's just, you know, that's human nature. Well, this person, he also flipped out the money, but then he said, I'll be back. He came back, and he wanted to check and make sure the person, you know, was healed up and restored. So that's the motivational gift of mercy. Now, comparing prophecy and mercy depends where you're leaning. You're going to see that they're trying to do the same thing. They go about it in different ways. Let's say, you know, this half the congregation was mercy and this half was prophecy. Somebody walked through the doors right now and they come in and say, you know, hey, I'm going through some problems. Don't have any money. Lost my job. Been kicked out of my parents' house. Okay? Just stuff like that. All right. Now, you got two sets of glasses looking at this. How do we fix their problem? You know, how does that get resolved? Because it's a problem that probably needs to be resolved. You know, the Bible tells us if we just say be warmed and be filled, we haven't really met our obligation to the Scripture, right? So, all right, the mercy people, they're going to run in there and they're just going to love on them. Hey, it's okay, brother. Everything's going to be okay. We're just going to take care of this. You know, what can I do for you and all that? Well, the prophecy motivational person is going to come in too and say, hey, we'd like to help you out, but what do you think got you in this problem? Right? You could say, well, the first person's nicer. Well, yeah. But if the person doesn't change how they do business, they're going to be here next week. Right? They're going to be here next week. Same problem. So, which is right? Neither. Which is wrong? Neither. Those are just two different gifts in the body of Christ looking at a problem. Now, these two people may not work well together, you know, on a project. You wouldn't want to put them on the same project, perhaps. You know, you might open up a door for some counseling, amen, you know, or at least, trying to keep them from hurting each other. But if they walk in maturity with each other, they'll fix that problem. The person's need will be met, and the thing that got them in that problem will be fixed, and the body of Christ is better. Because we had these giftings working on a situation. So, those are just two of the seven gifts that we looked at today. Prophecy and mercy. And before you figure out that you're that one, you have to wait. And you need to listen to all of them. Because like I mentioned, you're going to have one dominant. I guarantee that. One's going to be stronger. But you're going to have others also. And after we go through this series, I'm going to make available to you some information to help you maybe take a test if you desire to find out. And you say, Pastor, why on earth is this important? Because we're a body. And as we've went through this series so far, the body has many parts. Hand, foot, eye, you know, all these things. And you need everything working to the benefit of the body of Christ. And if each of us understand what it is God has put inside of us, and how we can utilize that gift to help the body of Christ grow. Because the stronger that we are as a body, we're going to make more of an impact on a lost and dying world around us. But if, you know, how many know that when God made your human body, there's not a lot of extra parts? You know, not a lot of extra parts. You primarily need most of them. A few things you can get along with a little bit. Without, primarily, you about need everything that's there, I'd say, in the high percentages, up, you know, 95% plus. I mean, you don't want to go without some of that stuff if you can help it. And if you have all that stuff working right now, especially as you get older, you start to understand when something ain't working quite right. You know, you start to feel the pain. And you start to see the things that are going on in your life that's not working as good. Then you notice, wow, I really took that part of my body for granted. And so my goal is to help you to figure out where it is you fit. And then once you figure that out, you're going to figure out why God put you on this earth. A lot of people don't have a purpose. And believe me, people, work until retirement is not a purpose. That's just something you do. But God has put a purpose inside of you. Something that you are called to fulfill. And only when we find that purpose and start to work towards that purpose are you going to be everything that God's called you to be. Let's pray.